The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hour number two, the starting lineup. I-75 in Callahan. Of course, we're at the intersection of selection. Chad Campbell's Rusty Wallace Honda. Tyler Ivins. Wow, excuse me. Getting a little used to that whole mayor, Tyler Ivins of Knox County. Mayor of Knox County, Will West.
Yeah, that's right.
And really, we wanted to bring him along. I mean, so many people on Twitter yesterday felt like that he should tag along, but he's such a busy boy on his own time. We have Eric Kane back in the studio.
Hey.
Eric Kane, what role would he play on this mayor, co-mayor of Knox County?
I mean, he's deputy mayor, vice mayor, right?
Your deputy vice elected mayor of Knox County, Eric Kane, where tomorrow Tennessee has their hands full. I mean, we have our hands full today running Knox County. Tennessee's going to have their hands full. They narrowly escaped Vanderbilt at home earlier this week, and now Kaner, bright and early, they've got the early tip-off noon tomorrow against Auburn, and this is an Auburn team right now who's lost back-to-back contests, and the worst possibility could be happening because they're undefeated at home this year, Kaner.
Yeah, and just send all your complaints of Mayor Tyler Ivins and Will West over here to Eric Kane at gmail.com.
I'll
handle all those. Now, Auburn.
Yeah, he'll actually read them. I will not.
Auburn struggling right now. Back-to-back losses in SEC play to Georgia earlier in the week and to Missouri on Saturday. But this is a team that is third in the conference in points per game. But a little bit different look for Auburn this year. Last year, it was all about the three-pointers, lived and died on the threes, and that's how they were able to go on to that Final Four run. This is Rick Barnes on a little bit different Auburn team this year.
Well, they still have good players. I mean, there's no doubt they still do. And, I mean, they're different than they were a year ago, where they're not making normally as many threes as they made, where they're relying more on an inside game and mid-range game. And, you know, they're capable, like any team, of having big shooting nights. But they've more of a, you know, inside-out team than they were a year ago. And they're a tough team to defend.
Yeah, tough team to defend. This team is only making, you know, only about 30% of the three-point shots attempted. So that's 12th in the SEC. So very different from last year. Rick Barnes mentioned an inside-out team. Senior center Austin Wiley, a third in the SEC in rebounds per game. He's fifth in the SEC in blocks per game. They like to go to him early and often. But still some guys that are capable of knocking down a shot. Samir Dowdy, 16 points a game. Javon McCormick, who really started in that Georgia loss earlier this week. He averages about 13 points a game. Still no word on Isaac Okoro, the freshman that's come on, a very good scoring 13 points a game. He's big on the assists. He's big on rebounds. Missed the last two games. That could be a wrench in the tool belt for Auburn. But again, it'll be a challenge for Tennessee, an Auburn team that's very good at home, undefeated at home on the season so far.
It's hard to believe that this Auburn team has gone through a little bit of the lull that they have right now, because it just seems like that they can shoot themselves out of any slump that they go through. And, you know, Will just made reference, what does Vegas know that other people don't? People were a little weary of that four line that they had in Athens a couple of days ago. That's not a betting topic. That's more of a, what is it that they've seen out of Auburn down a man, as you've already mentioned, that they would be that weary, and clearly they had that the day before. Gaynor, the way I look at it, Will, the way I look at it, this is huge for Tennessee, not only because they need to keep their bleak hopes alive of getting into the NCAA tournament, but this is an Auburn team where you don't want to be the launching pad, or at least the starting point for them.
Well, the thing, you still have an outside shot somehow, some way, because this bubble's just ridiculous, right? So, which is odd, but Tennessee still has an outside chance to get into the NCAA tournament. If you knock off Auburn this weekend, you exponentially increase that chance.
They need a quad one victory so bad. This can be one you can hang your hat on. This is hard to believe, but if I asked you right now, based on Joe Lenardi's updated bracketology he did last night, how many teams do you believe he currently has out of the SEC getting to the tournament?
Five.
Four.
Okay.
The big guys in Auburn, Kentucky, LSU, and then he has Florida getting in. He has both Mississippi State and Alabama in his first four out.
I would put three in.
You wouldn't put Florida in?
No, I would not. Not yet. I mean, if they continue to win the way that they're on, it seems like Florida's right at the ship.
Right.
But if the season ended today, I can't just say, well, you're playing well right now, even though you were the most disappointing team in college basketball. You know what I mean? I would have to take the full body of work into consideration.
With the ACC right now projected only to get four in, and the SEC projected only to get four in. Listen to these conferences that are going to get multiple in, including their conference tournament winner. The American getting three.
Yeah.
The West Coast Conference getting three.
That's a little much.
Mountain West getting two. The Southern Conference getting two. The A-10 getting two. For those of you wondering, who is the other team besides Gonzaga that they would put in from the West Coast Conference? BYU's a top 25 right now team. And then St. Mary's had a strong showing last night against Loyola Marymount.
Yeah, so I would probably flip the A-10, right? I mean, because I think the Dayton and Richmond have to get in, right?
Richmond, I wouldn't say is a slam dunk. I'd say Rhode Island.
And in Rhode Island, I think what I would put in there as well.
Richmond runs the table and they win that tournament somehow. Yeah. Then you got yourself a little bit of a quandary.
So I would put those three teams in before I put three in for the West Coast Conference. We've been talking about all year how, well, it's the West Coast Conference is a little weaker than it has been in years past. I would put two in and let's see what happens to St. Mary's when it's all said and done. But it's weird. It's a weird bubble place. And to take it back to Tennessee, this is an Auburn team that can shoot themselves into any game, and the last two games they've shot themselves into games. For Tennessee, the big thing is when you see a team that doesn't shoot the three well going up against a team that shoots a ton of threes, the team that doesn't shoot the three well wants to match, and they want to get close, and they get sucked into playing that type of basketball game. If Tennessee gets sucked into playing Auburn's game, if you see a two in front of that three-point attempted line, dead in the water. Dead in the water. And unless it just happens to be that one day that Tennessee is going to shoot 60% beyond the arc, dead in the water. They've got to play their game. They've got to let Auburn keep bombing away from outside, whether you know, even if they're missing them. And they've got to go play a disciplined basketball game, especially on the offensive side of the floor.
Cater, 11:30 start time tomorrow on the Vol Network, I'm assuming, with that noon tip-off in Auburn.
Yeah, Vol Network will take over the Saturday programming at 11:30. Tip-off is at noon from Auburn Arena. And again, something else, Rick Barnes said yesterday when meeting with the media, just like Jordan Bowden, who's having his worst season in terms of shooting in his career, Auburn and Bruce Pearl are still going to respect Jordan Bowden. So Tennessee still has to respect Auburn and those three-point shooters, because even though they're 12th in the SEC, as Will just pointed out, capable of shooting themselves into any game. So, again, it'll be 11:30 airtime, 12 o'clock tip-off, Tennessee at Auburn, the first of a five-game stretch in the season, a number of Quadrant 1 opportunities away. I mean, Tennessee could really make up some ground here, or it could go the other way. But it all starts tomorrow, and again, we'll have it right here on the Sports Animal. Today's UT basketball practice reports brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage, 947-7527, or visit online, poolsbyheritage.com.
Lenardi currently has 10 Big Ten teams getting in. Too many?
Yeah, I think so.
Lenardi.
I don't know who else you're going to put in at the same time.
That's the thing. All the other conferences aren't really proven
A lot of trash this year in college basketball. A lot of trash.
If I told you to set the number of teams that have a realistic chance to win the national championship at 4.5, would you take the over-under?
I'll take the over, because I think that you could see some chaos happening.
Going into their big matchup tomorrow, Lenardi still has both Baylor and Kansas across from each other playing in the NCAA tournament.
I think they would be on the one line today. Seeds. I think they would both be on the one line today. I do.
The loser, if they lose by 1 point, they still a one seed in your eyes?
Well, not after what happened with Duke. That's why. Duke was the other team that could have taken one, and Duke loses to – doesn't just lose to NC State, but gets shellacked by NC State.
Worst loss by a non-conference team in Krzyzewski era.
Yeah.
22 points. You go to Raleigh, get thumped. Not a good time for that to happen. Kaner, we appreciate it. Rusty Wallace Honda is where you can find us here today. The 2020 upgrade event, it's this weekend only. So, Will, if you're here north, I would encourage people to come I-75 in Callahan, where you can get an upgrade of your current vehicle for a similar 2020 vehicle at same or maybe even a lower payment.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, it's about the payment, right? And it's about how this payment looks within your budget. If you can take the same payment that you're paying right now, maybe that car's 4 years old,
right,
and it's time for you to upgrade that thing. If you haven't seen the new Accords, and of course you know the reliability that you get with Honda. If you haven't seen the SUVs that Honda has, the Passport is just spectacular. I think it's number one in the category in the Civic, the Accord, the Passport, the Ridgeline. I mean, you go across the board, Honda's number one in their category by all the ratings. And you can right now, again, keep the payment the same, trade your vehicle and upgrade your vehicle to a similar 2020 brand new Honda at Rusty Wallace Honda. Oh, by the way, during the month of February, get 3 years of no charge maintenance. I-75 Callahan Drive.
You know, already taking a peek at the Twitter, people starting to make their comments about executive orders. Officially today, mayors of Knox County.
That's right.
Can you believe this is actually happening?
No big deal.
Reed City USA partnering up with Glenn Jacobs. A wager's a wager, and Glenn Jacobs, a man of his word, waiting to be sworn in here at Rusty Wallace Honda. Really excited for Glenn to join us.
Can we hit something coming up on the other side? Because we have, I think Adam Schefter got jobbed on this CBA talk. I think Adam Schefter did the job for the owners, and I don't think he was aware that he was doing the job, and I don't think that this thing's done.
Will West, Tyler Ivins, 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee Lady Vols dropped their fifth straight game Thursday night, 83-75 to number 22 Arkansas. Ray Burrell led the way with 21 points, but the Lady Vols suffered 23 turnovers in the loss. College Hoops final from Thursday. Number 2 Gonzaga defeated San Francisco 71-54. Arizona State upset number 14 Oregon 77-72. Number 18 Colorado got by USC 72-66. And the daily schedule for the 2020 SEC Football Media Days have been announced. Jeremy Pruitt and the Tennessee representatives will speak to the media on day 3, July the 15th. That's in Atlanta, Georgia. Love Keno to go? There's more to love when you add Bullseye for a chance to win up to $300,000. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play your way today. 7:13, we'll get a check of the roads. Pete Michaels traffic. Good morning, Eric Kane.
I was just doing some digging during the break. The 10 Big Ten teams they have going into the NCAA tournament. Look, Will, as much as it maybe draws a little bit of a sucking lemon face, the Big Ten has done work this year. And
they
has kind of just, they've been cannibalizing each other. The better teams are beating better teams. And here's the best part. I'm not trying to give the Big Ten any credit because God knows working there for 5 years, I had my fill of the Big Ten and the Big 12. But you know what? Even road teams have gone to different people's houses. People have gone into the Big House. People have gone to Columbus. People have gone into Iowa City.
Yeah, I might end up closing that out against Ohio State last night.
They did.
Okay, it was a huge lead that they had.
And they just kept chipping away.
Yeah,
Ohio
yeah.
State did. But I went in there and I started doing even more digging. It's not what the Big Ten's done, even though they're cannibalizing themselves. Will, they're leaving the conference and they're getting quad one victories in different tournaments as well. So 10 may be a little much, but the Big Ten definitely flexing.
9? 8's the minimum probably for the Big Ten.
Oh, but they're flexing.
9's probably... most likely. All right, Adam Schefter with the report about the new CBA. It was interesting to see yesterday. It made me wonder, did Adam Schefter get some information maybe from just the owners? And not that he didn't say this is true, but did owners convince Adam Schefter that maybe players were far more on board with the new CBA than they really are? J.J. Watt tweeting hard no. We mentioned that there was Jamal Adams who tweeted, hey, more games equals more revenue equals more money for us. And Richard Sherman had to tweet at him, it's not that simple, man. Give me a call. We'll explain this to you. This is going to be very similar to what it was the last time when there was the CBA where Peyton and Breeze tried to get everybody to say, look, chill, we need to hold out.
Sure.
And let's get guaranteed contracts. Let's get everything we want on the table. And then you had the rank and file that said, no, we don't. And a lot of them kind of from what the reports were at the time were, they looked at it and said, well, Breeze and Peyton, you made your money. I need to make my money,
right?
I do think that we're going to see a similar situation where the guys who are smarter guys in the league are going to look at this and say, hey, we need to make sure that it's not just about the money. It's not just about making an extra $15,000. Did you see what the game check would be for an extra week of NFL football?
I haven't broken it down to
the penny. $250,000 is the max. So if you're Tom Brady, you're playing for a fifth of what you normally would.
That's a good point.
If you're Patrick Mahomes, you're going to play one more game with a chance to get injured for an eighth of what you normally would.
Yeah.
There's clearly yesterday when you saw the CBA fact sheet that was thrown out by the Players Association. Players are not as on board with this as Adam Schefter made it sound like this was a done deal, and he said it's expected to be ratified next week. Maybe that gets done, but you're seeing a lot of the bigger name players who have spoken about this.
Right.
That are saying hard no. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I look at this, the answer for me if I was a player would be hard no. We did find out yesterday the $5 billion number is over the course of 10 years. And that would be if you add the extra week of playoffs, if you add the extra week of of the NFL season,
right.
And it's up to and including it could be that. That's what it could become if you were able to get a certain TV deal, and there are some caveats that would get you to that point. So it's not just a guaranteed $500 million a year the way that it seemed like the initial report was.
It just seemed a little far-fetched that yesterday we were talking about the collective bargaining agreement just being as simple as, let's add games, let's expand the playoffs, and you're not going to get your guaranteed contracts and everybody's happy. It
yes.
just seemed like that the players were not going down or were not – it seemed too good to be true, and here we are less than 24 hours later and we found out it is too good to be true.
I don't think this is over. I don't think this gets ratified. Could it? It could, because it could be like last time where the leaders of the Players Association are saying, no, don't do this. And then once it gets voted on, the rank and file say, I want my money. So if I make an extra $15,000 a year, really you're looking at an extra $50,000 to $100,000 a year per player, probably is what you're looking at, and then the extra game check that will be up to $250,000. Now, if you're looking at, do I want to make that one-time money, or do I want to make sure that if I blow my knee out with 4 years of service in the league, I get the medical coverage I need to take care of that knee? That's what you have to ask yourself.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate part is last time they didn't get that. And Peyton and Breeze tried to tell them. This time, you got Sherman and JJ are trying to tell them. And so it's, let's see who wins this battle, because last time the rank and file won, this time we'll see if the players are willing to hold out and miss game checks to make sure they get what they want and what they kind of need, probably, especially for the medical side. That's going to be interesting to see.
Some of the other details that I saw that had emerged were the owners had agreed upon allowing extra offensive linemen to be available due to injuries.
Yeah, and extra offensive linemen.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are some positives.
What it would mean is your long snapper doesn't count against your roster total. That's what it would mean at the end of the day.
Well, that'd be good. There are some things that look like that are at least going in advantage to the players. I don't think they're there yet. And to your point, when we started the segment, I don't think they're anywhere as close as people are making it out.
All right, okay. Do we see a lockout or not?
I'm still leaning towards no, and that's where I've been even since the first whispers 2 years ago emerged that it was going to get to this point in time, and even now that they're getting louder. Look, people threaten all the time. It's like my mother growing up saying, if you don't clean your room, you're not going on that date this weekend, or you're not going to get to do this or do these things. There's always consequences and threats out there. Sometimes they're leaked on purpose, trying for one side to get the advantage over the other. I'm still in the area of there is no lockout. But every day that expires, getting closer and closer to the end of the season of next year, I get worried about that.
I would say no, but I do think it's a 35% chance that we get a lot of work stoppage in the National Football League.
Usually when Schefter tweets something out, you can almost put it down as scripture.
Yeah.
I feel like we got a little – I got bamboozled.
I think he got jobbed a little. And I think that he probably believes somebody who was trying to get him to paint the players into the corner. And I don't think he realized he was. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, he also had another thing that he said yesterday on the Rich Eisen show, talking to Jeff Darlington, who he said is more tied into the Patriots than he is. And he said Jeff Darlington told him the Titans are the most likely landing spot for Tom Brady this year.
Wild, wild west. You don't know what's going to happen. I honestly believe right now this is now advantage Tom Brady.
Well, of course it is. And if you look for Tom Brady, I know that Nashville's not a great place to build the TB12 brand, and Vegas probably isn't either, and those are the places Jeff Darlington told Adam Schefter are the most likely landing spots for Brady, and the Patriots are third. Give me the team that had worse weapons around their quarterback than Tom Brady had last year in the National Football League. Worst team in the NFL, Cincinnati. I'll take Cincinnati's weapons. Over
the Patriots. Okay. I'll slow you down right there. No, I'd still take the Patriots.
Running back situation?
Yeah, sure.
You would take the Patriots running back situation?
I would rather have. I'd rather have Sony Michel than
the Mixon.
No, I. Situation.
I mean, it's a dude. I would rather have Sony Michel, well, but
I'd rather have Sony Michel and James White than Joe Mixon. Yes.
Okay. I would rather have Mixon. I think the offensive lines were a wash. Coaching clearly was better with Cincinnati. I mean, if you want to go Cardinals, no, I'll take the Cardinals.
I'd rather, to the Cardinals,
I would rather have Kenyon Drake and their receivers than to have Sony Michel and White.
Yep. I agree with that.
There's not a team out there. I'm definitely not the Giants, definitely not the Jets. Definitely, I'm trying to think of the trash teams out there. Dolphins probably had worse personnel around them,
okay. But
not far from it, not far at all.
Would you rather have the Raiders or the Patriots?
The Raiders. every team that's on the table for him to sign with this year gives him not just better weapons, but exponentially better weapons. So that is part of it, too, is I think if you see the Patriots get really aggressive about signing players, and it's probably going to take a lot more than a promise, because remember, he signed on a team-friendly deal the last time, and they promised to re-sign Wes Welker, and then sign another receiver, and they didn't do either one.
You don't give Brady minimum $30 million this year,
yeah.
There's zero chance he returns to Boston. I think right now it's 15%. If you're not starting at $30 million, you have zero chance to get him back.
Yeah.
Tyler Ivins, Will West, your co-Knox County mayors for the day. Glenn Jacobs is going to be joining us here in about 45 minutes, and we'll find out what exactly is on the itinerary for the co-mayors of the day. Five burning questions coming up on the other side. One of us picks up a win going into the weekend next on 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal. You know, see, today when you are co-mayors, you share the spotlight. You share the opportunity to make this county just a better place for you and your family. Everything we do, we will do together. Will be myself, will be Will West, 656-9900 inside TSL here at Rusty Wallace Honda. But for a mere 5 minutes, Will West, it's not you and me, it's you against me.
The me, yes.
And one of us will walk away and get the extra pep and the step that we need to officially welcome Glenn Jacobs here coming up in the next 45 minutes to be sworn in and really to know who just the better mayor is. So, Eric Kane, without any further ado, a special five burning questions, mayor versus mayor.
Head to head, toe to toe, mano a mano. It's time for five burning questions. Brought to you by Life Safety Inspections. Saving lives one extinguisher at a time. It's not just a motto, it's how we do business.
All right, gentlemen, what will be your first order of business as co-mayors of Knox County today?
I'm glad you asked, Eric Kane. And by the way, thank you so much for being a part of this just fantastic journey. My first order of business, every person who walks up to me today and addresses me as Mayor Tyler Ivins and thanks me for all the hard work they've done, you are going to get more than one, but two free lemon cookies from our friends at Ham and Goodies. All day long, I'm going to walk around with a free box of Ham and Goodies cookies and just start handing them out.
Mine will be that the people at the kiosk in the mall, I'm signing the executive order, the people at the kiosks in the mall can't walk out into the walkway and try to stop you to try to peddle their wares to you. Do I want your sea salt bath wash? No, I don't.
Maybe. Maybe I do.
No, I don't.
Got a little dry skin under my eye right now.
Do I look like I want to smell like sandalwood? Why are you up here with cologne right now?
That actually sounds relaxing. Sandalwood.
All right, Wilder or Fury? Who do you have this weekend?
Give me Wilder in a knockout. Give me Wilder in a knockout at seventh round, somewhere in those mid-rounds. The reason why is Fury's taking this differently. He usually gets down to about 250. He said, I don't need to cut weight so I can be more nimble. I can stand in there with him. That's a horrible decision by Tyson Fury. I think he gets knocked out for it.
I think this goes to a decision, but I like Wilder by a nose. It's not going to be a knockout because they've got to get a third match out of this. It's already getting very WWE-ish. I know Tyson Fury did a little bit for them in a Saudi Arabia fight just months ago. They got to get three fights out of this. They got to give him a reason to buy the third fight. It'll be close. It'll be controversial in some way, shape, or form, but Wilder gets the W to hold on to the belt.
All right, did you have a problem with David Ortiz calling Mike Fiers a snitch for whistleblowing in the Astros sign-stealing scandal?
Yes, I did, because I think people are looking at Mike Fiers the wrong way. Mike Fiers saved baseball, okay? Now, should he have done it while he was a member of the Houston Astros? Okay, Poppy, that's up for debate. But the fact that he did do it, and he did take one of the largest scandals that have ever happened to the sport and bring it to light, he needs to be commended for that. And not enough people are doing that, so I have a problem with Poppy.
Well, here's the thing. When you say that, here's what you're saying. I cheated too. And so when I saw Jessica Mendoza say that, I said, oh, you were a cheater too. When I see Poppy say this, I would say, oh, it's because you're cheating. Nobody has a problem with people outing someone for cheating unless they were also cheating, right? That's just the way that it goes. So, like, if you find out somebody, the Maury Povich, hey, baby daddy, DNA test, you're not the baby daddy, she was sleeping with you. Oh, why are they going to do that to people? Oh, that's because you may have slept around with your baby daddy. Otherwise, you wouldn't care. And you would say, this is about justice and truth, and we got truth and justice in this. Poppy's a cheater.
Today is actor Kelsey Grammer's 65th birthday. Is Frasier the greatest spinoff TV show of all time?
It is not this greatest spinoff TV show of all time. My favorite is Colbert Report, and I don't like Colbert on Late Night or Late Show right now, but I thought Colbert Report was hilarious with the Bill O'Reilly thing that he did. The greatest, though, was the Jeffersons. Moving on up to the East Side, George Jefferson, Wheezy, the whole nine yards. The Jeffersons is the greatest spinoff of all time.
Anybody ever seen the show Breaking Bad? Of course you have, because everybody loves Breaking Bad, the spinoff of all spinoffs. Even if we did not like the spinoff, and this is one that I find very popular, is Better Call Saul. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and let you know right now, I understand that we have somebody judging us who's in the 20s club and maybe didn't watch Breaking Bad.
New school NBA fan trying to tell me that LeBron's better than Jordan's over here, giving me what happens now is the greatest thing that ever happened.
And I'm just simply stating, if you haven't watched Breaking Bad, and I know a lot of our listeners have, then that means they probably like Better Call Saul as well, and they would agree with that.
Can I be honest? I didn't like Breaking Bad.
See, that tells me everything I need to know about you.
But I was told that you got to finish episode 4, and I didn't.
All right, if you don't kick through the wall, why take a sledgehammer to the wall if you're not going to finish
it? It's 3 hours into this, 3.5 hours into this.
Move your story forward. It's so funny because a lot of people, they do the wave like, oh, it's 6, it's 8. It is episode 4.
Okay.
That one is for sure. For anybody out there, go to Netflix, get through episode 4. You'll love Breaking Bad.
On this day in 1946, actor Alan Rickman was born. Is Hans Gruber the greatest action movie villain of all time?
This is a really good question. And when it comes to action movies, have you ever seen a movie called The Crow? If you haven't seen The Crow, then I need to let you know right now that really the real villain is Brandon Lee in that film. Brandon Lee coming back when people are just trying to clean up the city.
What are you doing right now?
I'm just letting you know that if you've never seen The Crow, then you don't know that Brandon Lee was the real villain.
Tom, would you smell his Diet Coke and see what's in there?
Brandon Lee was the real villain in that movie.
God rest his soul.
There was a lot of gang members that were just trying to clean up the city. And he comes back from the dead and just ruins their plans.
That got weird. It is Hans Gruber very barely over Ivan Drago. I do not put Darth Vader there because it's a sci-fi movie. That's a sci-fi movie. I did not put anyone in the MCU because those are comic book movies, action movies. It is Hans Gruber 1, Ivan Drago from Rocky 4, number 2.
Are you one of those guys who constantly beats the drum that it's a Christmas movie for...
No, I'm not.
Good. Because every year when that comes out, I kind of just like let it go.
It's already a Christmas movie, and so is Rocky 4, though, just so everyone knows.
Rocky 4 is not a Christmas movie.
Did Tyler answer the fifth question?
Yes, I did.
He said Brandon Lee
in The Crow.
Who died tragically filming The Crow, was actually the bad guy of the movie, not the good guy.
Go back and rewatch it. You'll find out who the bad guy is.
The confusion, I like his cookie idea the best, so Tyler gets the win.
Cookies, give me the win. I think you got a sympathy win.
No, there's no such thing as sympathy
win. That was a sympathy win.
Eric came, big cookie guy.
You pooped your pants. Yeah, that was it. Ooh, Tom says it was a suck up win from Kaner.
Okay,
because you got house last week, and I think Kaner was trying to give you.
If I'm sucking up for anything, it's to get some cookies. Okay, let's be first and foremost about it.
I'm just gonna go ahead and be honest with you right now. If there's any person in our entire building who is going to suck up, one, yes, it would be Eric Kane.
But number two.
If he was to suck up, I can guarantee you it wouldn't be to me.
Our buddy Andrew Dragos is on Twitter, King of the Hill, the greatest spinoff of all time. That's a good one. I forgot about King of the Hill being a spinoff.
What is...
He said Butthead.
What did it... Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Happy Days gave us so many different spinoff shows. I mean, we got Mork and Mindy out of Happy Days. We got Laverne and Shirley out of Happy Days.
Time out.
Like, that one gave us a lot of spinoffs.
King of the Hill wasn't even the best spinoff from Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, don't say Daria.
Daria was hilarious.
It's not a bad show. I got to be honest with you. I felt like that was gender-specific comedy. Like, I didn't get it. I didn't understand what was
like
funny
about
it. You
didn't like her dry sense of humor?
No. It's fine. I don't care about interpersonal relationships, so we have to take that into consideration when we're talking about things like Daria.
I thought Daria was great. Now, granted, I was the kid growing up. I wasn't allowed to watch
Matt on LSU. Matt on Twitter says he doesn't think that my opinion matters anymore.
Why?
I have no idea.
Because of Poppy. I think he's a Poppy guy.
Oh, is he a Poppy guy? Well, Poppy is a cheater. That's how we know. One, he was in the Mitchell Report. Two, you only say, well, that guy's a snitch. You know why you say you're a snitch? Because you're a criminal. That's why you say, you know, snitches get stitches.
He was in the Mitchell Report, but he never tested positive. You know, so it's one of those gray area guys.
Okay, you know who says snitches get stitches? Criminals. You know who doesn't say snitches get stitches? People who are innocent. That's who.
What about people who compliment Chip over at Life Safety Inspections?
Well, that's everybody that deals with life safety inspections. LSITN.com for life safety inspections. Anything to do with fire suppression systems, they are the ones to call. Licensed inspectors, sell service installation, they do it all. Life Safety Inspections.
I feel really, really confident now that I got the win during the Mayor on Mayor five burning questions.
Yeah, that's
so
that was
so. I'm
that was
here,
a travesty. I'm just going to be honest with you. That was a travesty.
I'm rubbing my palms together. I really feel like I feel like
Peter
I'm about
really
to turn
wants cookies.
I feel like I'm about to turn into the bad mayor in all the movies. So congratulations, Tyler Ivins, now villain mayor. I'm going to go get a cat. And I'm going to start stroking its head. The
well, there's
entire
two
time.
Of you there. Will's got
to
balance.
He's already
out.
Wearing a smoking jacket and an ascot, so he just is a cat away.
Andy, can you please give me the Bernie matches so I can light this tobacco here in the middle of the Rusty Wallace Honda showroom floor, which, by the way, we're going to be here for the next 90 minutes, and I'm going to tell you, if this is the weekend, it needs to be for you to stop by for the 2020 upgrade event. It's happening here at the intersection of Selection.
And a lot of times when you hear, hey, you got to do it this weekend only, it really means the end of the month, and everybody kind of thinks about it. No, that's not the case, man. It's this weekend only. This weekend only. If you need to upgrade your vehicle, if you're upside down in that thing and you're like, I don't know that this is going to last another 5 years and that's how long I have to pay on this thing, you can upgrade your current vehicle for a similar 2020 vehicle at the same or maybe even a lower payment at Rusty Wallace Honda. And during the month of February, how about 3 years of no charge maintenance here at Rusty Wallace Honda as well?
More to get to on the other side. I'm sorry, I'm actually coordinating with Mayor Glenn.
We'll get to coming up on the other side. Philip Fulmer with a very interesting interview that he had with the Tennessean. We'll talk about it next with starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee Lady Vols dropped their fifth straight game Thursday night, 83-75. The number 22 Arkansas, Ray Burrell led the squad with 21 points, but Lady Vols turned it over 23 times. In the loss, daily schedule for the 2020 SEC Media Days have been announced. Tennessee's Jeremy Pruitt, along with three players, will speak with the media on day three. That's July the 15th in Atlanta. Other teams represented on day three, it'll be Alabama, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. So that's Sam Pittman, Mike Leach, and your friendly Nick Saban. NFL owners accepted the negotiated terms of the new proposed collective bargaining agreement on Thursday. The vote will now be sent to the NFL Players Association, who could vote during a conference call later today. If two-thirds of the NFLPA accept the terms, a final majority vote would then go to the players. Special edition Jumbo Bucks Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery are hot off the press. Play today for your chance to win up to $300,000. It's 7:46. We'll get a check of the roads with Pete Michaels traffic. That'll be in about 15 seconds. Good morning, everybody. I'm Eric Kane.
Final segment of hour number two.
The Rick Roll from Eric Kane. That was a Rick Roll on the Five Barney's Questions mentioned, by the way, on that decision. So,
Kaner, I hope this carries over to your voting next week. You remember how many times he's ripped you for your voting here at Five Barney's
Questions.
I'm not
ripping you.
How many
I'm taking umbrage.
He's ripped me? Or?
Taking exception. There's a world of difference.
I think if anybody's ripped me, more or less, it's been you, dude, Sir Tyler.
Ivins, you're my guy.
That's Mayor Ivins to you?
You're my guy, Ivins, but you had a diaper full at the end of that one. Complete poopage of the pants. Okay, so Philip Fulmer with an interview with a Tennessean.
Yes.
Says he had the opportunity to coach at Tennessee, but it never appealed to him.
Maybe you just reach a certain point in time in your life where you just finally hit the off switch.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I don't mean to steal from Motel 6, but as a coach, the light's always on for you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you bring up a great point. You just said, you know, talking to people who were close with Philip Fulmer, once he became a grandfather, it's just like, I'm done.
Yeah, we have a friend, you and I do, a mutual friend that doesn't talk about it a lot, but is very, 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 very good friends with Philip Fulmer.
Right.
And from what I was told by that person, it's Coach Fulmer at a time wanted to do this and then become the coach of Tennessee again. And then once he kind of had grandkids, that just a lot changed for him as far as what his priorities are. And so when he alludes to that in this, and if you haven't seen the interview, it's with Gentry Estes, I believe, is who the interview is with the Tennessean. It's pretty interesting when he talks about that. With Coach Fulmer, too, I'll admit when Coach Fulmer became the AD, I thought this is going to be a train wreck. And the biggest reason why was because the boosters who have turned the place into a train wreck over a 10 or 12-year period, unintentionally, it's just a matter of once you have to split the baby 12 times to make everybody happy, usually you make a bad decision.
Right.
And so, but those boosters that napalmed the Jeff Brohm deal that was done, that napalmed, you know, Mike Leach being the coach here, that napalmed so many different things over the years where you could have better options than Kyle Whittingham. The boosters that napalmed that are the ones that kind of did this Game of Thrones-like coup to put foot Coach Fulmer into the AD's chair.
Sure.
And so I just thought, well, this is going to fall apart. Instead, it's gone completely the other way. Nothing against Coach Fulmer. It's a matter of, you don't empower the people who are the problem,
right,
and give them the thing that they want, and it gets better usually. What's happened, though, instead is boosters have backed away. And so you have one, you have just a couple of voices. You have Chancellor, President, Chancellor, AD.
Right.
And that's the way that it should be. It's not Chancellor, President, AD, and seven boosters that all want as much of a say as the AD does. They backed away and let Coach Fulmer do his job, which is something that's been great. All those PR nightmares, and do we remember what it was when Dave Hart was here, where every 2 weeks there was a PR black guy from Tennessee? When's the last time Tennessee had a PR black guy?
That's a really good
point. It hasn't happened since Coach Fulmer's been the athletics director.
Yeah.
So it's you go from having a basketball team to having a basketball program.
Sure.
It's been really impressive the way that – and even in a situation where – I will say, I think 90% of the athletics directors in America, when what happened last year happens with Rick Barnes, they don't sit down and look at it and say, okay – what is it that we can do at Tennessee to help give the guy the support that he needs? Instead, they would have said, well, you want to go somewhere else? You can go somewhere else because it's a high ego position. But if you're confident in yourself, you're willing to listen to things and say, oh, well, I could be doing this better and this better and this better. Okay, I didn't know we needed to give you that because we've never had that here. Here you go. We can give you that. And it's why Tennessee has a program now, not just a basketball team.
What are the chances that Coach Fulmer would have found as much success back on the sidelines coaching at the University of Tennessee as he has found as much success as the athletics director?
I think he can coach. Like, that's the thing that people are underestimating. Right. He can coach. Recruiting would be different because I think it would have been tough to recruit against how many years is Coach Fulmer going to be there.
Right.
That would have been tough. So I do think the Tennessee brand had to do a lot of rebuilding at the time, and I think he's helped to do that. And so that would have been the tough part is, how do you get everybody together? Do you get the old band back together? How do you split the difference between what the old school coaches and new school stuff? That to me is where I look at this and I just say, okay, this could have been, I think he would have done a fine job, but he's in a position now where he can help Tennessee for a lot in a lot larger area, in a lot larger capacity, and he can help Tennessee and for a lot longer than just being the head coach for a half decade.
Let's do this. Coming up on the other side, your chance to play the game. I just picked up a W less than 20 minutes ago, whether the co-mayor of Knox County, Will West, likes it or not. We'll see if you can pick up a final W going into a Friday. We got Ice Bears tickets on the line tomorrow, Nautical Night with WNML. We'll tell you more about that if you're going to go out and see the Knoxville Ice Bears hit the ice, making that push for the SBHL title in 2020. And not only that, but Will, we're less than 20 minutes away from current Knox County Mayor Glenn Jacobs joining us here at Rusty Wallace Honda, and we'll find out what the itinerary is laid out in front of us for today as you and I, we officially become co-mayors of this awesome, awesome county right here in Knox County. Final 60 minutes of the starting lineup for a Friday at 99.1, the Sports Animal.